Well, now that we made the darkness flee, let's celebrate, right? I'll say happy Mother's Day again from one mother to the next. And that's about all I'm going to say about that. So I'm going to have some other women joining me up here after a short bit. But just to give you a quick, brief synopsis, we've been in this series called Just Be You. Week one, Jordan and Krista talked to us, and Jordan used the analogy of the Fitbit in how it helps us to count our steps. And Krista then challenged us with her story in how do we use our steps? Where do we go? Where am I going? Week two, Jean talked to us about living in 3D, the idea to develop friendships, discover story, and then discern next steps. And he followed that up last week with the challenge to write our own story in 100 words. I'm telling you, that's hard. And I got it about narrowed down. He's being a little picky about one little phrase yet that I've got to tweak a little bit. He says it's a little too religious, but whatever. He also just encouraged us to use simple tools to tell God's story. And today we're going to wrap this up by talking about grander vision living of radical inclusiveness. It's a pretty big, wordy phrase. But packed in that are a few questions that we can maybe challenge ourselves with. One of them being, what are you living for? Is it people? Is it things? Is the gospel the main thing in your life? And do you prize people enough to share it with them? And I just want to back up a little bit and take this word gospel and unpack it just a little bit so that we're all clear about what I mean by that. By gospel, I mean, as we talked about for many weeks in Colossians, Christ is our message. Period. He is in charge. I am not. The gospel also refers to the finished work of the cross, which is a phrase he's picking on me about. What does that mean? Well, what I mean by that is the finished work on the cross means not only did Christ die, but it was finished when he rose again. Because if he doesn't come up out of that grave, everything he's been teaching and preaching and did to die isn't valid. So that's what I mean by the finished work of the cross, and that is enough. It is finished. He died for my sins, my redemption, my salvation. Before we were born, this happened. As you remember, last week, Jean gave us this diagram of us and God and this big chasm of sin and death between the two, and that cross, the finished work of the cross, is what bridged that gap. So what I need to do is believe it as truth for myself, receive it, and then walk across the dang bridge. It's there. All we have to do is accept it and believe it and walk in it. And then I can just be me. I can be fully who God has created me to be with the gifts and talents he's placed in me, and you can be the same. You can be the person that God has created you to be. He's not asking you to be anybody else. And then we just share Christ in our everyday. So again, I ask, is the gospel the main thing? Is it what I'm driven by? Is it what I'm guided by? Or is my stuff? And by stuff, I mean my achievements or my status. Perhaps it's my work, my relationships. Maybe it's my health. Maybe it's my brokenness. Are these things all under the umbrella of the gospel? Or is it the other way around? See, when the gospel is my message, can I have that umbrella? When the gospel is my message, and I'm guided by it, and I'm driven by it, this is a cool one, watch this. I'm protected and guided by it. So it's weatherproof, cool. It's what we need. So let's pretend this purple umbrella is the gospel, okay? All with me on that one? Now, as you know, just because I'm under an umbrella like this doesn't mean I'm always going to be comfortable or unscathed. And like our life, God doesn't promise it's going to be easy, right? As a matter of fact, he tells us, beware, because hard things are going to come. And you know that the best umbrella, one that's a whole lot more expensive than this little Target baby, doesn't keep us completely dry either. The little bit of wind or a mud puddle, and I might get wet. And that's kind of uncomfortable and frankly kind of irritating sometimes. But God doesn't promise comfy. Actually, he often asks us to walk into those places that are uncomfortable or maybe difficult so that he can be made visible. So when I seek him first and when I choose the gospel as my main thing, then as it says in Matthew 6:34, God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Then my status, my achievements, my work, if you can just envision them hanging from here. I didn't get that crafty. But just imagine hanging from here are the things like our work, our finances, our health, our families, all of those things that consume our time. Imagine them hanging from here under the umbrella of the gospel. And when I approach my life and my everyday with it, these things being guided by the gospel, then these things kind of tend to fall in place. Maybe not the way that I expect them to or the way I think they should, but they'll fall into place the way God needs them to for the plan that he has. That is what I mean also by grander vision living. When we just want the message of Christ to be known in our everyday life and everything that we're doing with all of these things. Now, when all of these things in our everyday life are the main thing, and the gospel is not necessarily the main thing, it might be part of it. So we think now, here's the gospel, and we've got our work and our play and our families and our finances and our health and our achievements and all those things in here, and the gospel is just part of it. So we're going about our days, and maybe we pray here and there, but we're pretty bent on our work and our families and these things that are important, but the gospel just becomes one of those things that we check off the list that day. It's like I want to keep controlling all of these things, but I want God to bless it. So I'm done all this. Isn't that good? Like I'm taking care of all this stuff now. Bless me, Lord. Now what happens with this umbrella? My arm's getting tired. What happens with this umbrella when the rains come? This umbrella is going to fill up with rain, with water. And pretty soon, then we're like doing a fast doggy paddle to Jesus saying, save me, stop the rains, help me. Or maybe it's not rain, maybe it's the sun that we're missing so desperately today. Maybe it's the sun that's beaming down and it's great for a while, but then it starts to kind of burn us and dry us up. And we're crying to God about shade. Like, why are you, like, give me some shade. I can't handle the heat. We freak out when the elements come and kind of mess us up a little bit. We can't handle it. We're exposed. So my challenge to you is to right side the umbrella. Like, get it back up here. Get the gospel back in its place. Let the gospel be the thing that aligns my day, that guides my day, that informs me, my day ordered by Christ's plan. And you say, well, yeah, now what? That's easy to say, but what does that really mean? And what about my broken relationships? And what about these bills I can't pay? How do we function? Like, what does this even mean? So I'm going to tell you, when Jesus knew his time was almost over on earth, he knew that he wasn't going to be with his friends and family anymore in the flesh. He told his friends, and you can read this in John 14:16. He says, you know, I've got to go. I got to go up to my Father. I'm not going to be here among you. I'm not going to be walking with you. I'm not going to be teaching you, explaining things to you. But I must go so that Christ can send a counselor to you, the Holy Spirit to live in you. The Spirit of Truth. It's like the best version of Siri. How many of y'all have Siri on your phone? User? Mm-hmm. So when your phone is powered up, it is information central. Like you can just, whatever you need, hey Siri. And she says, I'm listening, in her best English accent, because that's what I gave her. So if I say, hey Siri, who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore? And she will, in very little time, give me a few links and tell me, this is what I found. And so here's where you can go. So no more I have to go into my World Book of Encyclopedias downstairs and find M, look it up. Or if I don't have them in my home, go to the library and find it and hope nobody else has checked it out. Or find a history book or something. It's here immediately. And every one of us in this room could ask Siri a question at the same time, and I'll get an answer. My friends, that is how amazing the Holy Spirit is. And more. Because the thing with Siri, she doesn't get it all the time. She can actually be kind of irritating as well. But the Holy Spirit knows what we need even before we ask. So I say, put that in your back pocket. That's a pretty, pretty special gift. And I think it makes the gospel simple, which I think can be appealing to someone who's not too sure about this Jesus way. See, we don't have to go it alone. We don't have to know all the answers or know much at all. We have access to the answers through the Holy Spirit. And then we can have peace when we let that inform us, when we let Christ control. We don't have to do anything to get in, to get this access. Jesus says, come, follow me. He doesn't say, come, follow me, and then I need you to take this course and these classes. I need you to learn these steps, memorize these verses, and then I need you to go to church on these days and pray at these times. I haven't read that anywhere in Scripture. He says, come. Now, are those things good? Absolutely. But as he says in John 5, you diligently study the Scriptures that talk about me, yet you refuse to come to me for life. That's what he wants. He says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. To the Samaritan woman at the well that Jean talked to us about last week. He says, if you're thirsty, come to me and I will give you living water. To the disciples when they're faced with feeding these 5,000 who've been listening to Jesus teach and they're tired and they're hungry and they're like, shoot, we're out of food. What do we do? Jesus says, gather what you can find and bring it to me. And he multiplied it. He did the work. Matthew 4, we read about when he called the first disciples and he saw Simon, Peter, and Andrew, brothers who were fishing. They're fishermen by trade. And he says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of big fish. He didn't say, come follow me and I'll make you a student or a scholar so you can learn about all these things. He's like, I'm going to use you right where you are with the gifts and the talents and the abilities that are already in you. And that's, again, that is what he is saying to each and every one of us. And that's what he is still saying today. Just come, follow me. Now we hear it through the voice of the Holy Spirit. He does the work, we take the steps. Or sometimes the other way around, right? We take the steps and he works through that. So the best way that we can be Jesus and to function under the umbrella of the gospel is to be authentically ourselves, real, honest, and messy sometimes, without all the answers, but tuned in to the Holy Spirit in our everyday, whatever we're, wherever we're walking, whatever we're doing. To be able to say hi to someone and give them a smile. To listen, to really hear the heart of what somebody's saying, to just take time. That can be at the grocery, at the checkout. It can be your neighbor. It can be a stranger. In your everyday as you go. That is radical inclusiveness. Seeing everybody as a person that is God's kid. We're not judging. The only thing I need to do, for those of you that are doers, is spend time with Jesus. Pour over scripture, learn about him, but also then take that time to sit with him and listen. Listen for that direction from the Holy Spirit. Ask for that direction. Pray. Colossians is full of that directive to pray and praise him. Surrender your agenda and just submit to him. I would just say to you that I believe prayer is the password. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. Colossians 4:5, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray diligently. This idea of praying in a way almost like breathing. This constant dialogue, this constant lining up. And then love. Love well. Love as he loves you, and in doing so, simply point people to Jesus. There's no pushing, no pulling, no hitting them over the head with rules or expectations or judgment. It's simply standing beside, walking with, working with, living with, authentically you, messes and all. So cast a line, make the phone call, send a text, walk across the room to somebody you don't know, or maybe somebody you wouldn't typically talk to. Invite them under your umbrella. I asked several women this past week to approach their week with this intentionality and then to record their findings. I'm going to invite them up at this time. We're just going to talk a little bit about some of the cool stories that came out of this. Some of the things that I gave in their outline was to purpose to focus their attention totally on the Holy Spirit's agenda, to pray for open doors, to purpose to see everyone through the eyes of Jesus, respond with love, grace, mercy, compassion, and then walk across the room and engage somebody they don't know very well. So thank you, ladies, for your willingness to do this. Welcome, my friends. This is Karen, Anna, Christy, and Tess, and they did some awesome journaling this week, and we're going to just be able to talk just a little bit about what they experienced as they followed kind of the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Christy journaled for me, and I picked out one story that I labeled nudge meets debate. Nudge meets debate. So you say we're driving along with your sister, and she just kind of popped in your mind. And you came up with some really quick reasons why not to call her. Can you tell me about that?
I was running errands one morning, and I'm driving, listening to my music, going out about my day, and my sister pops in my mind, as she often does. But this time came a nudge with that urge to call. I argued with this feeling, made excuses. She's probably busy with her daughters. Maybe she's sleeping. Maybe she's at work. None of these feelings were going away with my excuses. Okay, God, okay, I get it. I'll call. I often ask God daily to use me as he sees fits, but I also like to argue and debate along with that just to make sure he knows what he's doing.
Right, right, yes. It's always good, yeah.
Yeah. So I make the call. She answers right away. Of course she does. We start talking. Not long into our conversation, she asked me if we had gone to church yesterday. Yes, I say to her, it was amazing. In her voice, she sighs and says, really? Yes, we absolutely love it. Restore is exactly what we have been praying for. I invited her and her family with us to church. We ended our conversation. I went on about my day. About an hour or so later, I receive a text message. It's my sister. It says, hey, so what did you call me for earlier? My reply to her was, well, I honestly really don't know why, but I felt like I was supposed to call you. You popped in my mind. She responds back to me and says, that's funny. I've been thinking about you and your church since yesterday. I immediately felt like obedience is better than sacrifice, and I'm thankful that I made that call because she's sitting here today.
Welcome. I love that, Christy, that you, it may not seem like a big deal, but God connected some dots, and that's what he does so well. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Karen, we've had a conversation. Jean and I had the opportunity to sit down with you and Doug a little while ago and kind of explore this concept, and it's something that you guys are walking in as well. I think you call it missional living. And so as you were doing this exercise for me, you mentioned that you kind of heard this strategy, maybe four steps, per se, of the gospel just being a part of your everyday. And then one little story she talks about, she calls it Red Box Delight, which I love as well. So can you just unpack that for us a little
bit? For sure.
Please?
Yeah, so as I've kind of been trying to live into this lifestyle of connecting with Jesus and then being Jesus mm-hmm. to people just in my everyday, whether that's in my neighborhood or my work sphere or just where I go in the community, And I've had some of those encounters, and then as I've stopped and reflected on those, I've seen these four things mm-hmm. that are kind of consistent. So the first is, as I go. In other words, this is not so much about a time slot on my calendar or an event that I go to, but it's my everyday as I go. So just as you go is the way to go mm-hmm. when we're trying to live this as a lifestyle. The second piece is that I've noticed that these encounters that I have tend to be random and reoccurring. So the random is kind of like the conversation I have in the checkout lane mm-hmm. that I may never have again with that person. But the thing is, you never know when a random could become a reoccurring, mm-hmm. where you're building connection and relationship mm-hmm. over time. Then the third thing that I noticed is the power of listening. So it's a simple thing, but I noticed that when I really listen to people, it actually speaks volumes to people about their value and that they matter. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing that third part well, listening, I find that the fourth shows up. I listen to learn how I can bless or serve them, not generically, but in a specific way right. that meets them right where they are. Right. So my red box delight is just a little story that happened. Doug and I were on our way somewhere, and we just pulled into Martin's, and I popped out at the curb to just go return the DVD, right? So, but there was someone in front of me, And so I was waiting, and I noticed her. She had beautiful long hair, and suddenly she noticed me, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She said, "I was just trying to find some normalcy in my chaotic life." And I heard, because that listening always happens best when you hear God first and then hear. So I was like, "Oh, this is that opportunity that Colossians talks right. about." And so I'm like, "Oh," I said, "I'm sorry. Sounds like life has been rough lately." And that just gave her the permission then to share about her life. Started with Hurricane Katrina, took her on a journey. She's had health issues. And as I listened, we kind of stepped aside from the red box, and she shared, and she shared. And as I was listening, bringing some normalcy, some connection into her life, she told me a way I could serve her. Part of what she shared is that her hope is that she could find a job so she could get a place of her own and move out of the shelter. And so I'm like, "Hey," I said, "where my husband works, they're hiring. I think that it might fit you. Are you interested?" And so she took me over to the lottery kiosk and had me write down the info so she could pursue that. So God's really good.
That's awesome. So what would you say? Was there anything that you did differently this week than maybe you would have other times?
Well, for me, I think it was really just amping up the awareness, the consciousness, the intentionality as I was going about my day. And, you know, the cool thing is that even when I'm not doing that, when I'm not conscious, the Holy Spirit always is. So I never planned on that red box stop being important.
Right.
But so this can be encouragement for all of us. Like, this can be simple and powerful. And also, when we're not on, when we're not aware, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is on, and He is with us, and He's amazing at this. We just need to follow His lead.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. I had a couple other ladies do this as well for me, and I have a few little snippets of their stories in here as well. And I asked Sam the same question, like, "What did you do differently than usual?" Her response is, "I simply listened. The Holy Spirit is always there asking things of me, but I am often so preoccupied with my thoughts and desires that I just don't listen." And I think, again, this is kind of one of those awareness things where, I think you said, just kind of this heightened awareness of the ways that God may want to use us. Kelsey shares this cool story. We could be here for three Sundays talking about stories, but here's one little snippet, too, that I think is just beautiful. Kelsey is a little more on the introverted side, so she's not one of those, like, talk-to-everybody-you-see kind of people. But she says on Monday, "I went to Starbucks before my class tonight. I was the only one in line when I arrived. I got a feeling that I should ask the barista how she's doing. She looked busy and didn't make eye contact, so maybe I shouldn't. I battled with these thoughts for a few seconds, then swallowed my pride and asked the barista how her day was going. She looked up, gave me a short answer, but then about 5 seconds later, she stopped and said, 'No, actually, it's been a really awful day, if I'm honest.' She went on to explain about bad news she'd gotten about her dad, about that he has cancer, and how devastating it was, and it made for a really terrible Monday. So Kelsey told her, 'I'm not sure if you believe in God, but I do. And I believe He is capable of providing healing and peace in any situation.' She nodded her head in agreeance, and then with tears in her eyes, she asked me if I would pray for her." Okay, so this was shocking to me at first, how God just opened this door in front of me on a random Monday in Starbucks. So she prayed with her for a couple minutes, hugged her, told her that she continued to be praying for her and her dad's health. So this was a huge leap of faith, and these are a few bullet points that Kelsey shares with us that she learned in this. People don't just want to be listened to, they want to be heard. And I think that's one of the things you just shared, Karen, as well. Don't just ask how somebody is doing. Really be intentional about wanting to know genuinely how someone is doing. People are usually open to being prayed for. If you get a nudge from the Holy Spirit, listen to him. If we're intentional with our actions with people, it's amazing the beauty that God shows us through them. God will handle the rest. So I believe that's just a beautiful story of being bold, and it's beautiful. Tess, you have a new beautiful job.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Can you, I call your story, new job, crazy connection. Mm-hmm. Tess is, I don't know how she does her job, but she is a dental hygienist, and I don't understand people like that, but I do love Tess. And I'm glad there are people like her, but I just don't like going to people like her. Can you share some of day three at your new job, this patient that is pretty excited about this new book she's reading?
Sure. Yeah, so this would have been my third day on my job, my first day with patients at this new office. So this lady walks in, very first patient of the day, says hi to people she knows. She's gone there for years. Somebody I work with, a coworker, walked in to say hi, like, nice to see you. And she goes, hey, like, so-and-so, his name, we're doing this book study at church, and it's about the book Just Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels. And I stopped her. I was like, what? I was like, you'll never believe it. We're going through this same series at church that focuses on this book. And she stopped me and she said, this book has utterly changed my life. Mm-hmm. Everything that I do in my life, I see people differently. I'm not one to confront people and step out of my comfort zone. Everything has to be routine. It has to be comfortable for me. And she said, reading this book for the second time now has completely changed the way that she views people. And it may not have been a time for me where God challenged me to walk across the room, but at the same time, she encouraged me that her testimony should be my testimony. And all of ours, there is always somebody that God places in your days mm-hmm. where you just need to take the courage and just say hi. Like, hi, how are you today? Because a lot of people don't get that. And we all can agree that if we walk into a room, that's what we want from somebody. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was just really cool to me to be like, I think it was when Brenda first messaged me about this, and I'm like, what am I going to journal? I'm a hygienist. I'm the one that has to talk the whole time. that was the first day that she came into my room, and then from then on, it was like, okay, there's always something to look for. Mm-hmm. You just have to be willing to look and take the time for the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you. So.
Right. I love in part of your journal here, you say, every day on my way to work, I pray these words, Holy Spirit, walk with me and help me to be a light to those around me. And you said, today I learned how important it is to look for the ways Jesus reveals himself in my day. And I guarantee it's more often than we think. Today I was reminded that Jesus hears that line in my prayer and that he's always placing opportunities in my life to be light. So Tess, how can you take what you're already good at and shift your motivation to things that are eternal versus temporal? So yeah. People versus stuff.
That's a hard question to answer, but for me, I've struggled with what my purpose is in life. I've changed career paths quite a bit. I went back to school to study something completely different. And the question has always been, God, like, what is my purpose in my life? And to me, I felt like my purpose was found in what my job was, what my career was, what I chose to do every day, because that is 90% of our life, pretty much, if you work, or if you're a mom. I mean, that's a job, too. But so that is something that I struggle with, and I think a lot of people with that mindset, when work is at the forefront of your mind, you're always trying to reach the top of your career or make more money or be the best at what you do. But ultimately, in every job that I've had, and they've been quite different, I've learned that there are people everywhere that need a light. Mm-hmm. And for you just to smile and say hello, I think that is what we need to turn our motivation to, is not worldly things so much, which is hard to do, but to focus on what our purpose is. And I wrote a line, and I said, may the things that are eternal overwhelm our purpose. Mm-hmm. 'Cause ultimately, but at the end, God is going to, you know, we're going to be standing before God, and we're going to not be judged by how much money we made or what position we were held, but we're going to be judged by the people that we reach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Tess. Sam's answer to this same question about how could you take what you're already good at and shift your motivation, she said, I hate talking on the phone, but I love a clean household. So sometimes I need to just stop putting the clothes away and pick up the telephone. So that's a huge shift. How many of you care about what your friend's house looks like? Just make those connections. I think that is super beautiful. Miss Anna, busy mom. So three moms in kind of different life stages, and I'll still call you newly married. Anna has four beautiful children, and she said in her journal, I have felt like a kid on Easter morning. This treasure hunt has ignited anticipation, expectation, hope, and healing as I heightened my awareness to the Holy Spirit's agenda. So you shared 5 days with me of how you kind of approached this intentionally, looking for the Holy Spirit, and then kind of walking in what you heard the directions to be. And day 5 didn't go quite like the others did, and I wonder if you could share that day with us.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to continue this because just the guideline that Brenda sent in an email, like I said, sent me on a treasure hunt. And each day, just hearing what the Holy Ghost would say to me and those, I think Brenda in the email, she mentioned the fleeting thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, the good ideas that pop in your head. And just, you know, I know myself and I know that wasn't my idea.
Right.
Every exactly. good thing comes from above. And so those are my Holy Ghost moments. Mm-hmm. And so I had that during the day in several different ways. But then day 5 came, and most of the day, like, I went about, it was busy, but I spent a little bit more time with the kids than normal and just did a few things different that Brenda suggested, but I didn't have any of those moments. It came to supper time, and I was kind of like, did I do this right today? I haven't had any. And so after supper, still nothing. So I took my journal outside on the patio, and I sat down, and I pulled up Brenda's email, and I went over kind of those questions when all of a sudden my Holy Ghost fleeting moment popped in my head. Why don't you ask your children 4 questions and do it as an interview style? So I get the patio chair and called one of my kids, and I did them all individual, and each one answered my 4 questions, and they were special gold nuggets that I tucked away in my heart. But I'm going to share with you what my oldest daughter, Elise, just the questions I asked and the answers she gave. So the first question was, what did I do different today than I normally do as a mom? And she answered, she said, you spent more time with me. And the one thing I wanted to bring out, too, was this Holy Ghost moment didn't come at the beginning of the day when I could have done extra things to give them better answers for it. You know, my day was done. My time that I had invested, you know, it was in. So I thought that was interesting how I didn't get it in the morning. I got it after. And so anyway, it made me a little nervous to keep asking questions. But so question number 2 was, if there was one thing I could do different for you as a mom, what would that be? And Elisa's answer was, I would choose for you to be more involved in my life. Oftentimes when I'm acting up, I'm actually not needing space that you give. I want you to help me get to the bottom of my problem. That would help me feel more loved. And question number three was, what did I say to you that brought value? And she answered kind of quickly. And she said, when you walked past me and you said, I'm very proud of you as a daughter. And four was, what was the best thing I did for you today? And she said, on the swing, when I was being negative and you continued to be positive, it made me not want to be rude anymore. So I encourage all of you, I mean, I would ask Brenda for the email or the paper or something, it not as an obligation, but as kind of an encouragement to live by that, because each day he never failed to speak to me. And it was a simple way of bringing the kingdom here on earth, mm-hmm. in a daily thing. If we do it one day, we can do it 1 year. You know, right. That type of thing. It's just simple little changes that brought significance to each day.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that any of you were like, felt like it was a super inconvenience or like a lot of work? No. And do you think it's something that you could kind of just do? Just do on a regular basis as you go, where you go. That's awesome. I'm telling you, like I said earlier, there are so many more stories, and I really, really want you to hear them. Thank you, first of all. Thank you, ladies, for sharing so much. Thank you. I'm going to try to get some more of these stories out to you. So if you want to, I'm going to be a guest blogger on Jean's blog this week, which is jeantroyer.com. And you can go there, and I'm just going to put more of these stories up. And if you have a story that fits into this, please send it to us as well. You can send it to info@restore.church. And as Anna mentioned, I do have the outline if it's something that would help you to kind of give some structure to doing this a little more intentionally. You can come up and take a picture of it with your phone, or I can email it to you as well. But as we wrap up this series, again, this just walk across the room and just be you, remember the analogy of the Fitbit. Think about your steps and where you're going to live in 3D and be authentically you, who God created you to be. Know your story and how it demonstrates that finished work of the cross. And then right side your umbrella. And let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Seek first his kingdom. Friends, live life with intentionality, with the gospel as your main thing. We all have a responsibility with the gifts and talents he's given us in the places that he puts us, where our feet go. We have a responsibility to be the face and the voice in the heart of Jesus. Remember the grander vision living of radical inclusiveness, that people and souls are at the heart of Christ. And my challenge to you is, do your priorities line up with the heart of Jesus? There's no judgment in those words. I know our seasons are lives of adjustment, and sometimes we just need to realign a little bit and get our focus back on the things that really, really matter. So I wonder if maybe this morning you have some realigning or some adjusting to do. And if you do, I know we've already had ministry time, but we do have another song. And if you feel it would be helpful for someone to pray with you, I'm sure the prayer team would be more than happy to come back up and pray some more, right? Let's pray. God, I thank you first and foremost for the finished work of the cross. And how you not only died, but you rose again and you are a living Savior. And then as you went, you sent the Holy Spirit of truth to us, and we have 24/7 access. And it's a beautiful gift. I thank you for the example that you were to us of radical inclusiveness. God, continue to show us where you are and the places that you want us to go, the words you want us to say, the people you want us to love. God, we commit our lives to you again and thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. We pray this in your holy name. Again, come up front if you would like to be prayed for.